We begin this hour with the heartbreak of a devastated mom talking about what happened to her 15-year-old daughter.
She got into the wrong car, and she met a recruiter out on the streets of Seattle, and she ended up in the hands of a child sex trafficker who then posted her on Backpage.com.
It took months, but that mom, Nicole, who we spoke with last week, rescued her daughter. The scars will take a long time to heal, but Nicole isn't waiting for that. She's trying to change the laws in Washington State to get more scrutiny for internet companies that make money off of the sex trade. One success is a law which requires sites like Backpage.com to obtain documentation proving that the escorts they advertise are at least 18. Our next guest has taken as a personal mission to expose tolerance of websites like Backpage.com and making them front page news. Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times, joins us. Nicholas, welcome to the program.
Good morning, John.
One little detail. Isn't it the case that sex movies and pornography, the industry has to disclose officially the age of all of the people that appear in its content? Wouldn't that apply here?
Yes, that does. And indeed, on Backpage, that girl or any girl will be listed as 18 or 19. And some of the girls who have been trafficked in the past have told me that 18 is really code for 15 or 16, and you know, 19 means 17 or 18. Now, Backpage says that it is now more rigorous about that and that it is trying to eliminate some of the words that used to be code for underage girls like fresh 18-year-old, things like that. But there is no doubt that a lot of girls are underage and are marketed on Backpage.com, even though they are under 18. But just, you know, it will claim that they are 18, even though they're not.
Nicholas, is Backpage driving this, or do they say people are just coming there to try to hook up on their own?
Yeah, I mean, Backpage is not driving it in the sense, I mean, demand is driving it. And ultimately, one way of addressing this would be to try to reduce demand. And there are some initiatives around the country to crack down on Johns. And, you know, I think that is promising. But at the end of the day, when that demand looks for a way of finding a girl, it goes to Backpage more than anywhere else. About 70% of the market is on Backpage.com, 70% of the online prostitution market is on Backpage. And there is, I think, some evidence that if one were to take out that channel, that there would indeed be less trafficking, that there'd be less prostitution, and with it, less of this underage trafficked prostitution.
Describe what you've characterized as the asymmetry of the internet, where Johns are almost always anonymous, and that the girls and young people for sale are frequently not, even though their specific identities aren't known. There's a face there.
Yeah, I mean, I must say the asymmetry generally in this, I just find outrageous, and in particularly the way law enforcement has traditionally approached this. That I mean, I just came across a case in Michigan where a 16-year-old went missing. Her family was desperate to try to find her. They found an ad for her on Backpage. And so they contacted law enforcement, and it had a phone number. Law enforcement, the police then made a raid, and they found this 16-year-old girl, and they arrested her. You know, here she is. She's 16 years old. She's a victim of trafficking, and she gets arrested, and the Johns don't. Another case there of a 14-year-old girl who, under Michigan law, was actually too young to be formally charged with prostitution. So she was arrested on the grounds that she had tobacco in her possession, just to have some excuse to hold her. And I can't think of any other thing like this where we routinely arrest and prosecute the victims and let the criminals, who are the pimps and the Johns who maintain this, by and large, let them go free.
You've gotten a lot of criticism from your approach here. And let me just put to you straight. This is obviously a passionate concern of yours and a real opportunity for a journalist to get a lot of profile, because the sex trade is a big deal and gets a lot of attention. But is it possible that your attention motivates a lot of legal activity that essentially, on First Amendment grounds, results in the deregulation of the pornography trade?
Well, there's a, yeah, the counter argument is that if Backpage were not around, that then you would still have girls being trafficked. They would be sold on the street, or they would be sold on other websites that are less cooperative, frankly, in working with law enforcement. And Backpage, to its credit, it responds very quickly to subpoenas. It does, to some degree, try to screen ads that show, you know, very young girls. I wouldn't say it tries, you know, as hard as it should, but it does try. I just don't buy that argument. Backpage told me, for example, that in Seattle, they had been able to identify two girls who had been trafficked, and because of their tips, law enforcement rescued them. On the other hand, I came across 23 girls who'd been underage and been rescued separately, independently by the authorities, all of whom had been marketed on Backpage. So I just think that it is a major forum for this kind of trafficking. And there's some evidence, for example, that when Craigslist went out of the escort ad business, that that business did drop. And, you know, I find that promising.
Well, what if the argument from your reporting is actually in a completely different direction and would be for, in this internet age with technology so transforming this kind of transaction, that the argument would be for total legalization of the sex trade and a completely regulated environment where people would have to register and their identities would be completely known on all sides?
I used to be in favor of exactly that model. And the problem, it seems appealing because if one limits it to consensual behavior among adults and it's regulated and there are health checks and police checks to avoid trafficking, that would seem very appealing. The problem in practice where that model has been introduced is that side by side with the legal consensual behavior, you tend to have a black market in underage trafficked girls. And that has been the case in Amsterdam, for example. It's been the case in Australia and New South Wales. It's been the case in Nevada. And so I think that's the risk. You have this parallel market and traffic girls.
Well, a tough conversation, a great conversation, tough issues there. Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks, as always.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.